PR.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition. Wednesday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Thank you so much for joining us. Jason Dole has the night off. We have a packed show for you tonight, so let's dive right in. Later in the program, we'll hear about the Eddie Adams Photo Workshop, which arrives in Jeffersonville next week. We'll also talk about the Photo Festival that kicks off today in Jeffersonville. That's coming up in the second half of the show. But first, it's Wednesday. That means we check in with the one and only Isabel Braverman, editor of the Sullivan County Democrat, to find out what's making news in the paper this week. So on the line with us now is the editor, Isabel Braverman. Isabel, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back. Let's start off with the White Lake Mansion House. It's one of Sullivan County's first hotels. It's a historic landmark. It's been a long time eyesore in 17B. Many people, myself included, have wondered what would it have become of it? What was it and all that? But it looks like there's a lot of work being done on the property. Someone bought the property and has plans to restore it. What can you tell us?
Someone named Dmitry Simonovsky is the property's new owner. He bought it and is working to restore the structure. He is an affordable housing developer from New York City, and he went to the town because he wanted to see this building saved and restored.
And what is his vision? He mentioned in the article that Vincent wrote that he wants to reopen it as a boutique hotel. What does exactly that mean? And did he give any sort of details on the plans for it?
Yeah, he did. So he wants to open it as a 20-room hotel featuring amenities, and it will be a staffless operating model. So there's a self-check-in and self-checkout. The rooms will have private bathrooms, high-speed internet. So he noted in the story that he really wants to bring it up to speed and have these modern amenities and a modern experience when you're going to stay there.
And the price tag for this restoration, I understand, is up to $3 million to restore this house. That house, this mansion, I should say.
Yeah, he said the expected cost will be up to $3 million. He's working right now on stabilizing the building, but after that, I'm sure there will be much renovation creating it into this hotel. And he said that he will be utilizing some state programs to assist with the rehabilitation costs.
Yeah, I recently passed by a couple of days ago on 17B, and I can see the work is being done. I see some scaffolding. I see some new wood be installed there. And so the projected opening date is 2026. Now, he's calling it a fantasy project in the article. And you said it's a boutique hotel for folks coming to self-check-in. What do you think this will mean for that particular area in 17B? Because now there's some new shops opening up along that corridor.
Yeah, I think first of all, people are just really happy and excited to see something being done with this building. It's a pretty obviously historic building, but the focal point in the county, people drive by it all the time. And our county is known for tourism. It always has been. So I think adding this property as a hotel will continue to add to tourism. I'm not sure. There aren't many hotels near that White Lake area, so this will probably be a great location for that. It's also close to Monticello, but also still close to the western side of the county, like Narrowsburg and Calicoon. So it seems like a pretty good location.
You know, definitely. And there's actually a website connected to it. I see here is whitelakemansion.com. This sort of talks a little bit about the restoration and what they're going through. So I look forward to this opening. And yet, like you mentioned, that there is not a hotel that is near that area, which is, I guess you could say, along the way to Bethel Woods. And that corridor is always known for attracting visitors from Bethel Woods and attracting that fan base there. Look forward to seeing this restored. And like I said, it is known, especially if you drive down 17B. And it's been pretty much like an eyesore. But also, I'm just curious about the history of it, because driving it buy it every day going to work in Calicoon. I always wondered what that was before, and it was really hard to find information on it. Look forward to this opening and hopefully learning more about the past history of this historic place.
Yeah. Yep, we'll keep it updated.
Let's move on to a situation we had here, that there was a tornado that that's really the story is about, whether a tornado came down in Calicoon Center. So I basically want to ask you, did an actual tornado come down in Calicoon Center?
Yep, so it was confirmed that a tornado touched down in Calicoon Center last Thursday around noon. It was rated an EFO, which is the lowest rating for a tornado. So it was estimated winds between 75 to 85 miles per hour.
Yeah, this happened last week Thursday, and I remember driving. I was driving further upstate and just going through some really, really bad rain and getting the alerts that there was a tornado warning in the area back in Sullivan County. Photos were circulating of the tornado that touched down in Calicoon Center, and it looked very ominous and dangerous. It looked like something out of The Wizard of Oz. But you come to find out later on, like you say in your article, that this photo was manufactured through AI.
Yeah, so I actually saw the photo too. Someone showed it to me, and it was sort of a friend of a friend of a friend took the photo. They actually said the person who took it worked at Calicoon Hills, so it seemed pretty believable because this happened near Calicoon Center. But the meteorologist from the National Weather Service confirmed that it was AI. You can actually see in the corner of the photo, there was a little logo for Google Gemini, which is a image producing app or website. And the meteorologist said that this actually happens quite often when there are tornadoes or possible tornadoes. People start circulating these images that are either fake or old photos from something else that happened.
While the photo was AI generated, there was actually a tornado that did touch down in Calicoon Center, and there was some damage. What can you tell us about the damage that was felt in Calicoon Center?
There was a home on Bayer Road in Calicoon Center where some trees fell down onto their house, causing a hole in their roof. And actually, when this happened, one of the people who lived there, Karen Moylan, she said that there was construction going on in their bathroom, and she was standing in the bathroom talking to the people who were doing the work. And when the tree fell on the house, the boom startled her, and she actually fell through a hole in the bathroom floor. She wasn't injured. I actually saw her the next day, and she said that she was sore. She said her thighs got scraped, but other than that, she was just sore.
Yeah. Now, it seems tornadoes are touching down Sullivan County more and more. I know when I worked for the Sullivan County Democrat, there was one that touched down in Forsberg that did some damage. I think, fortunately, it wasn't in a highly populated area. There was around some more of a wooded area. There were some homes that were damaged. But also, there was one that we all reported on was in Apple Palm Farms, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, that did significant damage. And now we have another one here. Do you see that this is become sort of a more of a common thing because of what's happening with the extreme weather that's going on nationally and locally?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, this tornado that just happened even went into some of the same paths as that tornado that hit Apple Pond. It was 2 years ago in April of 2023, which caused damage not only to Apple Pond Farm, but other properties as well as it went through Calicoon Center. So this tornado only 2 years later had some of the same paths. And I think that we are seeing an increase in tornadoes and these types of extreme weather. I remember, I think it was in 2018 when there was significant damage. And even though it wasn't a tornado, it was classified as straight line winds that had a path of destruction. So yeah, I think we're seeing them more and more.
Yeah, and with extreme weather, not only like tornadoes, but we're talking about rain and extreme heat and drought that the region has been experiencing. Let's move on to some election news. Sullivan County's political parties have new leaders. In Sullivan County, Democrat Party elected Stephen Viglianti, former town supervisor for Fallsburg and current lawyer for the Thompson Planning Board. And also in the Republican Party side, Greg Goldstein was ousted by former Sullivan County Legislature Rob Doherty. What can you tell us about this change in leadership?
Yeah, so the Democrats had their committee meeting on Monday night. They met at the Duggan School in Bessel. There was a pretty good turnout, although it was noted that it wasn't as big as however many registered Democrats there are in the county, because there was another meeting happening that same night. But with the people who were there, which I would say was maybe around 50 people, they unanimously voted for Steve Vegliante to be the new chair of the Democratic Committee, which will be a 2-year term. He is taking over from Ann Hart, who previously served for 2 terms as the chair, but decided not to run for re-election. And on Tuesday night, the Republican committee held their meeting where they elected Rob Doherty. As you said, he's the former legislator. He also served as the chair of the Sullivan County Legislature. So he will be taking over for Greg Goldstein as the chair of the Republican committee.
Let's see how this hyperlocal election is coming up in this November. It's going to turn out. We have some key races coming up in Forsberg, Thompson, and also, of course, the sheriff's office, is also as Tim Diamond is campaigning to be the write-in candidate, challenging again incumbent Sullivan County Sheriff Mike Schiff.
Yep. So we'll have more information in Friday's paper about these new chairs and their visions for their respective parties.
Thank you so much. We were talking to Isabel Braverman, editor for the Sullivan County Democrat, talking about tornadoes, AI, and broken down mansions, and new party, political party positions that have been elected. Again, Isabel, thank you so much for joining us on the Local Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're going to learn more about the Eddie Adams photo workshop that's happening in Jeffersonville starting next week, and about the Jeff Photo Fest. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Local Edition on a Wednesday evening, and I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I do think it's kind of interesting in a way to hear the Republicans and Trump talk about how essential the government is now, but they think they've got the Democrats right where they want them. You guys just voted to shut down the government. We're going to lay off a bunch of people and it's all going to be your fault.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Wednesday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Each fall, Jeffersonville becomes the heart of the photojournalism world with the Eddie Adams Workshop. Founded in the 80s by Pulitzer Prize winner Eddie Adams, the workshop brings together 100 emerging photographers from around the globe to learn more about the industry and learn from the industry's best. And with me in the studio tonight is Benny Davis, a photojournalist for the U.S. Marshals and a longtime volunteer who's been part of the workshop for 15 years. So welcome to the program, Benny. Let's first start off, if just give a quick brief history of who Eddie Adams was and what the workshop is all about.
Absolutely. Eddie Adams was a photographer best known for his work in Vietnam. A lot of people have seen the assassination photo in the street that helped change the course of history as for the Vietnam War. Eddie also worked for Parade Magazine for many years, doing editorial work, amazing portraits, amazing person in general. And what he did back in 76 was he purchased a farm up here in Sullivan County, and his dream was to build a photo barn, a place where students and mentors and everybody could come together to celebrate photography and to help pass down knowledge to the next generation of photographers. And that ultimately evolved into what we have today, starting in 88 and now for 38 years, is the Eddie Adams Workshop. Well, we bring up 100 students, was 99 in the beginning. We bring up 100 students to Eddie's barn, and we facilitate probably the premier photo workshop in the country. for young students and young professionals and military veterans. Eddie set aside a few slots for military veterans, and that's how a person like myself got involved with the Eddie Adams Workshop. I'm a retired Air Force photographer and photojournalist, and midway through my career, and I had mentors that were also involved in this workshop from the beginning. And so as a natural progression in the military, it's like you go to this workshop, you go to that workshop, and then you get good enough to actually put in a portfolio for the Eddie Adams Workshop. And I was lucky enough to be selected as a student. Mm-hmm. And I came up here, and it was daunting. The best of the best is literally at the barn. When you're seeing figures that you only heard about in history books, Joe Rosenthal is sitting on a bench out front of the barn, and he took the flag-raising shot at Iwo Jima. For a military photographer, that's legendary. Yeah. And Eddie himself, legendary. Now, when I came up, Eddie had already passed. So I never got to meet Eddie Adams, the man, but his myth, his legacy, and everything else lives on for everybody that is incorporated with this workshop and is essentially passed down to all of us. I really do get a sense of him being in that barn and being and hearing the stories around the campfire and listening to the folks that knew him best and right. just talking with Alyssa, who has continued to put this on for us.
And that's his wife?
His wife, Alyssa, right. yes.
Before we talk more about the workshop, I just wanted to be interested in how you got into photography. What sort of brought you into that world?
I joined the Air Force to become an occupational therapist. And I'll try to sum up this story short, right? I went into basic training. They said, your job is no longer available. They gave me a list. And on that list, it said still photographer on the bottom. And I was like, whoa, you have photographers in the military? I never really thought about it. But when you think about just history in general, you see the pictures and everything else, but you never think about the people that are taking them. And they were like, yeah, we have every branch of service has photographers. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I grew up collecting baseball cards and I grew up like idolizing these players, but more idolizing some of the photographers that took the pictures of these players. I was always amazed by that. I remember early on telling friends that I wanted to one day be a baseball card photographer. That was my childhood dream. So to see even photography listed and having an opportunity to do it, I jumped at it. Mm-hmm. And they told me it was not likely that it was going to happen. But a few days later, my drill instructor came into the room and he said, Davis, you got your orders. You're a photographer. And he was like, that's good. She probably couldn't do anything but press a button anyways. Mm-hmm. So it was, and that started my career.
So before that, did you any photography before you joined the military?
No. The Air Force taught me everything. 7 months down in Pensacola, Florida, through a naval photography school that all the greats went through. Joe Rosenthal went through that school. I went through the same school as the folks from World War II, Vietnam, and everything else. Anybody that was taught photography in the military had gone through this school.
Wow. So I'm just curious about the school. Like, what kind of training? Obviously, back then, we're learning film, developing, so.
Time to date myself a little bit, right? I am mid-range. I was in the second-to-last class before that school closed. And we were still doing film, and we were doing long roll film as well for imagery analysis and reconnaissance and everything else. But we were learning in the darkroom. And so I got a foundation of photography, like agitating in the darkroom in a creepy old World War II building in the dark, haunted. And, that's where we learned photography. And digital was just getting started at that point. And the military was one of the first to embrace digital, right? For photography in the military, deploying without having to take chemicals and kits and everything else was like a big deal for the military. So we adopted digital really early. And so I was involved in that transition process from film to digital. So I got the best of both worlds and very grateful for that.
Yeah, I could just imagine back in the day when film was all of you just going into like a compromising situation of war, but also thinking about the photographers having roles of film and hoping they get the shot, and obviously there are professionals in knowing that they could get the shot, but things happen to film.
We've seen that happen through history with photographers everywhere, where films lost, films destroyed, films, that's the thing. They had to carry it with them, and they had to get it to a carrier, and they had to get it sent out to get processed. Right. So who knows how many canisters of film are still sitting somewhere in the jungles of Vietnam or on Iwo Jima, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, but let's go back to the Eddie Adams workshops, because we have some involvement with the Eddie Adams workshop. There's folks, photographers that come here, spend a day with us here and document what's going on. Let's talk about some of the process of what these students do during this workshop.
So the students will come in, so 100 students, 10 teams, 10 students per team, and each team has a theme. And then inside of that, on the team, there's a producer that finds them jobs in Sullivan County, in around Jeffersonville, for them to go and just spend some time documenting life of individuals in this town, in this county, and been doing that for 38 years. So think about that for a moment. I don't think there's any other area in the United States that I can think of where they, for decades, have been documenting the people of a place like this. Think about 38 years of the Jefferson football team.
Right.
38 years of the Deal family farm. Like, the legacy that has been built through film, now digital, but the archive of this community. And it's a unique thing to bring all these students, a community inside of a community, to go out. And they go out and they shoot. But the most important thing is they have these fantastic editors and other and photographers that lead the team that they get to sit down with and get feedback about how they shoot and how to refine their shooting as it pertains to either shooting or editing their images or anything else. So it's the feedback is the bigger portion of it. And then the inspiration, right? We bring so many fantastic speakers, the best from National Geographic, The Washington Post, editorial photographers, creative photographers, all everybody comes to the farm throughout the years and speaks and gives back to these students just to inspire this next generation of truth seekers. Most of these students are coming out of photojournalism courses or fine art or wherever they're coming from, documentary work, and they're just looking to carry on the ability to tell truth with pictures. And that's what we help them to do.
The Eddie Adams workshop starts on October 10th, so there's no room for folks to come into this program. But folks who may be interested in joining next year, when does the actual process start? Do you know, do you have the information on what is actually when folks should start submitting their portfolios to be part of this workshop?
Yeah, first and foremost, there's a great fact section on our website, the eddieadams.org website, workshop.org. That's where anybody should start first and looking to seeing your eligibility, the time frames, when portfolios are due, what time frame we announce, what time the workshop is always Columbus Day weekend up here in Jeffersonville. But all the information is laid out through our website. And that's when the process starts, right? So portfolios come in. We gather a team of fantastic editors that go through these portfolios. It's a daunting process, and it's not easy. I mean, they hold these portfolios. You have to have high standard of work to come here. And again, those 96 slots there for those young professionals, and then 4 slots that Eddie set aside for veterans. And those might always get filled because it's got to be filled with potential. There's got to be potential and work there that is to the standard of coming to this workshop. Because again, you're sitting in front of some of the world's best photo editors and everything else, and you want to put the right people in place. But Eddie did. He set aside slots for us veterans and can't thank him enough for it because right. That represents his friends. That was his time. He was working very closely with military photographers. And so he set that aside for us. I'm very grateful.
Yeah. So you started as yourself as a sort of a student part of the workshop.
Started as a student. And then from there was lucky enough to be asked back as a member of what we call the Beloved Black Team. And so at the farm, we're all identified by handkerchiefs. So every team has a colored handkerchief that identifies what team you're with. And so we wear a black handkerchief. And that's the volunteer team that comes together. There's 80 plus volunteers that come together to do everything from transportation, security, food, and catering for all the students and all the VIPs and the folks that we bring in to set the barn up. The IT, the AV, the everything. It's a full production, and we get it all ready for them. And these are volunteers that are giving their time to come out to help that next generation. And that's what makes all this so magical.
Has anything stood out to you as any kind of a particular project or student or anything that stood out to you in your years there?
Yeah, I'll go back to the Deal Farm, right? That was my 30 plus years of documenting this farm and how it's transitioned from a dairy farm to their other cells and their store and everything else that they have there. My story was Alice Deal, an amazing woman that I met my time as a student and came in and let me enter her home to document her family and what they deal with, no pun intended. But it was just an amazing family that just with open arms let us in and has let photographers in for 3 decades. The people here stand out to me. It's when we see these final products of what the students produce, it's amazing. Some of the stories that they come back with, some of the images they come back with. And the photography here, photography is, of course, the important part, but it's more about getting that feedback and everything else. But the students, they will surprise you with some amazing images that they capture of the people of this county. And so we're inspired. All of us are inspired by their work on what they do every year up in the game. Because, again, you cover a farm for so long, you think it's going to be redundant in pictures and everything else, but there's so much that evolves and happens when you're just documenting life. And that's amazing to see. So the progression, seeing those things, seeing people that I've seen 15 years ago that are still participating with our students and seeing their family grow up through pictures, like, it's just, for me, the magic for the students, but also for those that are behind the scenes and watch this, watching it all, watching that progression is an amazing thing.
Yeah, because you're watching the generational generations and the farms grow up.
Yes, play out.
Sons and daughters take over and keep on the thing. One thing you mentioned there that I want to talk to you about is the networking that comes out of this workshop, because you are with the team for a couple of days, and I'm sorry, you get to know each other and build contacts with each other. And that's also so important after this workshop, to keep in touch with these. Do you keep in touch with some of the people that you've been in groups with or be part of the Adiana's workshop?
Absolutely. I keep in touch with some of the students that I came in with. I keep in touch with some of the people that I met along the way. And it's family. And everybody says that it feels like family. No, it is. It is family. This is the highlight of my year, right? I look forward to this every year. I said this week, I set it aside, and I want to be there. As long as they want to have me, I want to be there and look forward to it, because it is for us it's a family reunion every year for us. And then we welcome 100 new people into that family. And then you watch some of these students go out and win Pulitzer Prizes or win these awards. In the last couple of years, World Press, first place awards of World Press, or like I said, the Pulitzer. It's amazing to see what comes out of this and what this workshop inspires. But we all get to cherish that together as family.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, coming up, part of the beginning film festival is the Jeff Photo Fest. It's going to be held at the storefront along Jefferson, Main Street in Jeffersonville, starting actually today on October 1st. It's also hosted by the Jefferson Area Chamber of Commerce. It's the first ever Jeff Photo Fest. I definitely want to definitely check it out, because I love photography, and you have some big names, Eddie Adams, of course, Keith Thompson. I believe one of our own here in Sullivan County, Chris Ramirez, is also going to be participating, and there's a whole slew there. But one thing I always enjoy of photography is going to photography talks. And I know there's one coming up on October 9th at 7 p.m., mm-hmm. the second floor of Lulu Social Club in Jeffersonville. You'll be talking to Michelle
Agnes.
Photographer there. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about this photo fest that's happening.
Yes. So again, first time. So thanks to Alyssa for facilitating and putting this on with Jeffersonville. We have been a part of this town for so many years. It's cool to actually see this growing in this sense, right? So to see artwork lining the fences, to be put in the windows, and seeing the town, who has always been so gracious to us anyways, now showing some of the products of their own, right? These local photographers that are getting their images put out through these next 2 weeks. And then culminating, like you said, with Michelle Agnes from the New York Times, fantastic speaker, great history of what she's going to talk about. She's been a speaker at the Adams Workshop as well. And I urge everybody to go listen and go take a look, right? So Eddie's photos are hanging in the windows of the Restore. Jeff Bake Shop, you can sneak in the back there and see an exhibit. If you pull into the parking lot at PEX and you see those giant portraits, walk up to them and take them in, because there's some fantastic work hanging around Jeffersonville these next 2 weeks.
Betty, before we go, is there anything else we have not touched on you want folks to know about?
I want folks to know that we are grateful and we are thankful for your time and your patience with the photographers, myself included, many moons ago, on letting us in and letting us become a part of this community. Sullivan County is amazing. Jeffersonville is amazing. We work in Liberty. We work all around. We've got photographers that are going to be going out a little bit from Narrowsburg to Calicoon and everything else. These are amazing little towns and even more amazing people. And letting us in and letting these photographers help hone and develop their skills by telling your story is just thank you. From all of us in the workshop, as long as we've been doing this, I guess I get to represent this and just saying thank you.
Yes, we'll talk to Benny Davies, photojournalist and part of the Eddie Adams workshop that's starting on October 10th, and also part of also the Jeff Photo Fest that also starts today in Jeffersonville, New York. So, Benny, thank you so much for joining us. I do really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
And that does it for the local edition on a Wednesday evening. It was your host, Patricio Robayo. Jason Dole will be back tomorrow and talking to the Times Union, Hudson Valley Bureau editor and managing editor, Philip Pontuso. Everyone, stay safe out there. I'll talk to you soon. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, see you.